Could a lawsuit against engine maker Rolls-Royce put at risk the next generation of aircraft?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. Today, the Australian airline Qantas threatened to sue jet engine maker Rolls-Royce. The legal moves stem from a scary incident last month. An engine on a Qantas flight from Singapore to Sydney blew out in midair, and that forced the plane into an emergency landing. From London, Christopher Worth reports on how the legal concerns could hurt more than just Rolls-Royce.
The problems could spread throughout the industry. Jason Adams is an analyst with the investment bank Nomura. He says Airbus may have to rethink plans for its new fuel-efficient mid-size plane, the A350, which will rely on Rolls-Royce engines. It could also spell trouble for the A380, the same super jumbo jet that suffered the blowout.
The real Airbus concern is that half of their A380 deliveries scheduled for 2011 have Rolls-Royce engines.
And it could be problematic for Airbus's American rival, Boeing. 40% of its new 787 Dreamliners are expected to use Rolls-Royce engines. It should be noted the engine maker Rolls-Royce does not make the cars of the same name. Qantas is in negotiations with Rolls-Royce to reach a settlement. Adams says the engine maker is expected to compensate the airline for having to ground its planes. But Qantas says it's taking all these early legal steps in case it's unhappy with the Rolls-Royce offer. In London, I'm Christopher Worth for Marketplace.
British banks borrowed more than $1 trillion from the Federal Reserve at the height of the global financial crisis. There are new figures out that show which banks and companies the Fed lent money to, just as credit was freezing up all around the world. The BBC's Rebecca Singer is with us now from London, and she has the latest on this story. Hi, Rebecca.
Good morning, Steve.
The Federal Reserve is the central bank here in the United States. Why were foreign banks allowed to use it?
Well, many of the European and UK banks which borrowed billions of dollars also had a substantial presence in the US. Take British bank Barclays. It took one of the largest loans, but at the time it had bought the US operations of Lehman Brothers. Now, during the credit crunch, they were all struggling for short-term funding. Peter Westaway is chief European economist at investment bank Nomura International. He says it not only shows how serious the crisis was,
but I think it just also shows just how interconnected the global financial system is. It's impossible for central banks just to worry about banks in their own country. It's all interconnected. And I think that's the main message I take from those numbers.
Hey, Rebecca, does this information give us any insight into the crisis and perhaps how we're going to cope with the next one?
Well, it does show us how extensive the Fed's assistance was. There are financial institutions that didn't even appear to be in trouble that took advantage of the loans. And it was a short-term solution that helped get the credit markets moving again. Henry Dixon from Matterley Asset Management says at the time it was very necessary.
I think it is worth pointing out today that every single penny of that money has been repaid, and that is inclusive of interest. So I think it was great that it existed, it has been used, but it has been paid back. So I don't think it should anger taxpayers in the States.
So maybe what these details show is that it can be done, but I suspect they hope it will never have to be used in the same way again.
All right. The BBC's Rebecca Singer in London. Rebecca, thanks.
Thank you.
Global stocks are higher right now, by the way. European and Asian markets are on the rise at the moment, up 0.5% or more. That's as the European Central Bank eyes efforts to boost the economy there. Wall Street yesterday, a day of big gains across the board. Markets added more than 2%. The Dow surged 249 points to end the day at 11,255.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by MassMutual, offering Save the Game, a financial literacy app for children designed for iPod Touch and iPhone, available on the App Store. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The NAACP starts a three-day education summit today in North Carolina. The civil rights group is taking on what it calls the re-segregation of schools in this country. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott reports.
The NAACP says school segregation is at its worst in four decades. Beth Glenn is the group's national education director.
Two in five students of color attend schools that are intensely segregated. These are schools where 90% or more of the students are non-white students.
One reason is the demise of busing programs designed to integrate schools by race. Since the 1990s, the U.S. Supreme Court has limited such efforts. Racial segregation has also led to higher concentrations of low-income students, a problem made worse by the tough economy. Mark Dorison at the University of North Carolina's Center for Civil Rights says segregated schools get fewer resources and attract fewer qualified teachers.
There's substantial evidence that shows that when you have racially isolated, high-poverty schools, the quality of education in those schools suffers.
Several school districts have tried integrating students based on their socioeconomic status. Richard Collenberg is a fellow at the Century Foundation. He says the strategy is legal and effective.
The research never found that African-American kids will do better sitting next to whites. It was always that low-income kids of all races do better in a middle-class school environment.
It's no accident the NAACP's summit is being held in Raleigh, where the Wake County School Board recently ditched its efforts to integrate schools by economic status. The NAACP is fighting that decision. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And finally, a report that's expected to be released today will show thousands of prison inmates across the country claimed $130 million in tax refunds. The Treasury Department's Inspector General says the refunds aren't necessarily bogus, but the report does say the IRS should investigate the money paid to some 50,000 inmates. The IRS says it's hard to determine which returns are legit because prisoners' families do work and pay income tax. But as for the inmates, they're probably not paying taxes on all those cigarettes and plastic silverware they're trading back and forth. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Even if the UN Climate Summit in Cancun comes up empty, local governments are trying to do what domestic and international politicians can't.
I would say the bigger impact of cities is really in this rethinking of how to deal with the issue of climate change and going beyond relying on national government.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Does acting locally add up? That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.